Amen. Matthew 6, we'll start in verse number 19, okay? Let's go back to 19 and just kind of cover that a little bit more. I'm trying to get my voice back to that camera so it works better, and a little bit of this is the first time we ever had a PA system in here, but it's not much, but it's something. It'll maybe pick up on the camera a little bit better than what it did before, because we're trying to put some things out. By the way, we've got some new classes going out on discovertheword.com under Sermon of the Week. Some of my teachers, one of them that's going up today is Infant Damnation. Infant Damnation. If you want to go study about that, by Dr. Roy M. Reed, he's on the Sermon of the Week. You might go and study that, and there will be a lot more. And they were going to put up a lot of the old. My teachers will be in there featured in Sermon of the Week for the next several weeks. Or actually, probably for 2 or 3 months. So go and listen to them. You think I'm good? They were better. Anyway, Roy Reed. Matthew 6 and verse 21. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is true religion. We just had a discipleship, I think, feedback again. Hey, the temperature has a lot to do with guitars and recording equipment and everything else. It's as the temperature goes up and down, things change. We just finished talking about discipleship and giving. And that's what it's talking about. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're so interested in the world, I guarantee you'll be worried about going out and making a lot of money in this world, and the Lord will be in the back burner somehow or another. Okay? That's just the way it is. He said, do not lay up treasures for yourself upon the earth where moths and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. True religion. True religion. True religion gets a hold of your pocketbook. It gets a hold of your whole life. People's pocketbooks are very precious to them, aren't they? You like to eat and you like to have a nice thing. All right? And Jesus here is... who is he lambasting? Who is he? He's scourging them, isn't he? Who are the people that he's scourging? The leaders of Israel. The leaders of Israel. He's after them. And this is one of their great faults that they have. By the way, politicians always have plenty of money. Have you noticed that? They always have the best benefits. I said here a while back, we ought to put every politician on minimum wage and only pay them when they go there and punch in. Okay? That would get them down to where we are for a while, okay? Just let them see what it's like to be a human for a little while, all right? And that's what Jesus is going after here. He's going after them and slapping around. They were the politicians of his day. And when they murdered him because of politics. If you've read the story, Shadow of an Indian Star, there, our great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul, was murdered by his son over politics. The opposing political parties got his son to kill him because he was going the wrong way, they thought. Now, 50 years later, they realize that he was going the right way. But it was too late. It says in verse 22, the lamp of your body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is true, truth. Have you ever realized somebody has shifty eyes? You ever heard of the old shifty eyed person? You know, dishonest. If your eye is honest, you will be honest. If you're a dishonest person, you're dishonest every cell of your body. How many of you know what a confidence man is? Confidence man? Yeah. Beware. Beware. Used car salesmen and everything else. These are all confidence people today. All trained in this. A long time ago, there was a guy by the name O. Henry. You ever heard of that, the writer O. Henry? He wrote a story, Red Chief. Do you remember what I'm talking about? These confidence men went into this old southern village, and they were going to kidnap this boy. These were confidence men. They had an evil eye. Everything about them were evil. And one of them was arguing with the other, and he said, William, he said, which one of us is the smarter? You know, we can go, this is the best investment. Kidnapping is the best investment you can do. And he said, we go in here, and these southern people, they love their children. Even if they're black sheep, they love them even more. We'll go in there and kidnap a kid, and we'll get some ransom, and then we can go scam, and their eyes were evil, okay? They kidnapped this little kid. He was called J.B. They got more than what they wanted. That little kid tied them up and pushed them up. Finally, chased them up the tree with a bear, and they had sent a ransom note to the father. And the father sent a note back to them and says, I'll make you a counteroffer. They wanted $1,500. He said, I'll take him back for $250. And he said, don't think about skipping out at all because I'm the sheriff of the county. He said, bring that child home after dark because all the neighbors are so glad he's gone they'd kill you if they brought him in daylight. And bring cash. And they did. Their eyes were not clear. They were not honest at all. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of fraud. And that's exactly what he's talking about in these Pharisees. They were fraudulent. They were liars. They were hypocrites. I talk to people all the time. Have you ever asked somebody to come to church and they said the church is full of what? Hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. I mean, a lot of times the church has got too many hypocrites in it, doesn't it? If you got one, you got too many. The first churches had hypocrites, and we still have hypocrites in them today. But why are we here? Are we here to beat up each other or here to serve the Lord? Yeah. We're here to serve the Lord. Don't worry about the hypocrites. The Lord will take care of them anyway. Okay? They'll be taken care of. Why are you here? To learn about God? To learn to love Him more? To get to know more about Him. All right. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Their eyes were evil. They were all full of fraud and darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Sometimes these schemes backfire, don't they? That the little thing about Red Chief, you know, that boy, the saga of Red Chief, O. Henry wrote about. Those confidence men, their scheme backfired on them real bad. It backfired. What happened here with the Pharisees, their scheme backfired too. Jesus is standing over there looking upon Jerusalem, and he said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times that I would have clucked like a mother hen to call you to come unto me, but what? You would not come. He said, not many days from now. And they were very proud of that temple, weren't they? They were very proud of the temple. The Jews are real proud about building another temple today. That temple is going to be the temple of the Antichrist. It's not going to be God's temple. It's going to be the temple of the Antichrist, the one they're going to build today. They haven't got their hearts right with God yet. They're still confidence men. Remember that. They were confidence men then, they're confidence men today. Why? What will change them? Well, the tribulation is going to change them, but what's going to really change them? That's why the tribulation period is coming. is to change their heart when they are born again, when they really have a real religious enlightenment, then they will be saved. But it's going to take 3.5 years of that tribulation period to turn them around. And they will have a temple in their land. They will have all of this stuff. They will be back in the land, but they will still be in rebellion. They will still be the dark-eyed people. The people with the darkness in their eyes. Number 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches. That's what he's talking about. You have to remember, go back to the period of time. Remember the thoughts and the customs of their day. If you were rich according to them, what did they think? If you were poor, what was wrong with you? Sinner. You were a sinner. God didn't like you. That's why you're poor. If you were rich, God liked you. And the gospel that we have today, so much out here today, is the health and wealth of the gospel. You know, just do this and you're going to get rich. God wants you to be happy and have Cadillacs. I know a girl here a couple of years ago. Her pastor told her that they needed a car. And he said, don't go out and buy a Datsun. I mean, what a Datsun, but a Nissan now. I don't go out and buy a little old cheap Celica Toyota. Go out and buy a Cadillac. God wants you to have a Cadillac or Mercedes. Don't shoot low, shoot high. God wants you to have the best. She had it for about 4 months. Lost it. It lost some of her face, too. That wasn't what God wanted. No. God wants you to love Him. He wants you to love Him. You cannot serve God in riches. Number 25 now. 7 reasons not to worry. Jesus gives us 7 reasons not to worry. From the first part of this message today, we got the fullness of the false religion. The fullness of false religion. He lambasted false religion and showed them how foul it was. The foulness of false religion. The foulness of false religion. Now he's going to tell us 7 reasons not to worry. Number 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worrying. Do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? How many rich people have you ever seen die? Anybody ever saw a rich? Have you ever known a rich man to die? All of them do. Everyone. 100% mortality rate. They can't buy 1 decade of life. They can't do that. They can't buy a decade. They can't buy 10 years. They can't buy anything. With all their riches, they can't buy it. They can live in absolute luxury all of their lives. You know, there's some really weird people that are rich too. There are some people that are so tight that they won't even buy clothes to go on their back to. That's when they turn money into God. Totally. When you see people that just absolutely just can't have enough. They want more and more and more. More and more and more. And then you see people that won't spend a dime to buy a loaf of bread. They will starve. There was a woman in New York City that was a beggar on the streets. And she would go and pick up food out of the trash cans and eat the food in the trash can. Everybody thought she was very poor. And when she died, they found her in her room with no heat. She died of hypothermia. And in there was hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. She hoarded up her money, and she worshiped the money, but she wouldn't even take care of her body. In any way that you get money or riches in your mind above God and your fellow man and your family, there's something wrong. You're sick. You are sick. You are sinfully infected with Adam's disease. All right? And these Pharisees were sick with it. Back in those days, they were sick with it. Now, the same God that created your life to begin with can be trusted with the details of all the rest of it. Okay? We not all, you know, the last 10 years we've been in a depression in America. They lied to us for a long time, told us we weren't in a depression. Now, I tell you what, we're in a depression. We're in it right now. A lot of people, but I want you to understand one thing. The rich haven't got poorer.
That's right.
The politicians haven't lost a dime. Okay? They haven't lost anything. You know who lost it? It's the people down the ladder. The rich homes that are for sale, you know, the $1 million homes, $2 and $3 million homes, they're still going for $2 and $3 million. They haven't dropped in price. Because there's still a clientele out there to buy them. It's our level that dropped down. We are the ones that got poorer. All right, we've got a little bit poorer. But you know what? As long as you're still alive, it doesn't matter, does it? As long as you have your life, you're going to make it. You may have to make it with a whole lot less. I remember when I made it with a whole lot less than I have today. So did Doris. Yeah. We were very poor when we were young. I didn't even know it until I went to school. I didn't even know what another poor kid looked like or anything until I went to school. Got around other people, didn't know I was poor. And I still didn't know it. I still just was happy. Be happy. Don't worry about it. For this reason I say to you, do not be worrying or do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? How about worrying about your health? We can do things. We can go to the doctor and we can try to get better. A lot of times the doctors end up making mistakes. Marilyn told me here a while back, you know what, Jim? She said, you're in really bad shape. And what did you tell me, Marilyn? Now, most of the things wrong with you is what the doctors did to you. What's wrong with me today is what the doctors did to me. I ended up in the hospital 2 or 3 times dying from their treatments. Almost dead. Problem I have with I've lost a lot of weight. I can't even wear my clothes anymore. I got 2 or 3 suits. I had about 15 suits. I'm down to about 2 or 3 suits that I had to... Nothing else fits. Skin and bones. You know why? Radiation. Radiation destroyed my colon and all of my digestive system. It doesn't work anymore. I can hardly eat anything. Everything else just is miserable. Well, I go on. I went to the doctor last week and he said, oh, your PSA is high. You've got cancer again. You know, we're going to have to operate on you again. You know, this... All the time. Just worry, worry, worry. Worry, worry, worry. But you know what? The Lord is going to keep me here just as long as He wants me here. They can't kill me because they already tried that. They worked me over. They slowed me down a whole lot, I guarantee you. But I will be here until the Lord is finished with me. And that's it. And when I croak and you go bury me, I may bury some of you. Who knows?
Brian, don't look at me when you see
Brother John, you know what I'm talking about. I remember, what was it, almost 10 years ago now, that I had a cancer operation. They just tore me up. We had a whole lot of people in my Sunday school class. A whole lot of people that wanted to be baptized, but they wanted to wait till I could baptize them. Well, they cut me all up and everything else. I couldn't do anything for a long time. And finally, they all went down at one time, and the whole balcony just emptied down there in front of that auditorium. That wasn't too long. You know, it hadn't been built too long before that. The whole balcony just came down, and the people looked like the Billy Graham crusade coming down there like that. Remember that? And they were looking and said, "What's going on there?" You know, Phil said, "What are we in, a Billy Graham crusade or something?" They said, "That's Jim Phillips' Sunday school class coming down." They wanted to join the church and be baptized. And your mother, Rosalia, they wanted to wait for me to baptize, and we baptized a whole bunch of them. I got strong enough to where I could dip them, and I put her in the bottom of the baptistry, remember? She stuck her hand up, and I just went down further with her. I was going to bury her. Part of her wasn't going to be stepping up there. And I was dying then. I had the worst cancer cell you could possibly have. It was terrible. This is fast-moving cancer, the doctor said. And then the butcher that worked on me here in Bakersfield spread the cancer. Yeah. I went down south, and they did the best they could. The doctor said, "You know what? This is what he told me. This is the whole story, okay?" I went in there, and after I was operated on and everything else, he was the last time before that, he said, "Well," he said, "Professor," that's what he called me, "God loves you." Because he said, "You should have been dead." And he's a Muslim, okay? He said, "God loves you." And he said, "The bad news is," he said, "you had a real bad cancer cell. It's not slow. It's fast." And he says, "When they did the biopsy, they spread the cancer. And it was under your backbone and everything else." And then what he said, Marilyn, he said, "Don't worry. Don't worry." He said, "Go out and just live and have fun." He said, "You're probably going to die of cancer." But he said, "I tried to get it all." He said, "But we don't know about that." But you know what? People have got cancer they don't even know about. Ignorance is bliss sometimes, isn't it? Isn't ignorance bliss when you don't know what's going on? I remember I went to medical school for 3 years at an osteopathic school down in Southern California when I was going to seminary. One of the backers of the seminary was a doctor down here, and he invited me to the osteopathic school. So I went down there. Before I went in that school, I had all kinds of aches and pains, didn't know what was wrong with me. After I went in there, and after a couple of years, I knew what was wrong with me. I started worrying about it then. I was ignorant, but I did learn what to eat and what not to eat and things and what was causing me some trouble. Look at this. Look at here. "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you put on it. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air." And verse number 26 now. In verse number 26. "Look at the birds of the air. How many doctors do they have?" "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor do they reap or gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they to Him?" is what it means. A bird, a sparrow. A sparrow. A sparrow's metabolism is 21 times more than yours. Did you know that? A sparrow. A bird. A little old sparrow. Let's think about a sparrow for a minute. A sparrow requires 21 times more food than you do. And God provides for him. God provides for him. Have you ever got to the point sometime in your life, and have you ever been really hungry and didn't know where you were going to get the next meal, and all of a sudden something pops up? Have you ever had that? That ever happened to you?
A lot of times.
Yeah. You didn't know where you were going to get the next meal, all of a sudden the Lord provided. How about to pay a bill? You couldn't pay a bill. And all of a sudden, God provides for it. God provides for it. And it's done. God's providing for them little old birds out there. Now, I'm a sucker. If any of you ever been around bound me very much out on the farm where I am. I have a lot of pets. I even feed the wild birds and all kinds of stuff. Got a bunch of doves out there. My old pig died last Saturday, or a week ago Saturday. I like to diet over that pig. I love that pig.
The big one?
Yeah. I tell you, I like to diet. That really hurt me. I went 13 years of doctoring her through times that I could just barely get her through. I thought she was going to die a dozen times in this last 13 years, and every time she came back, every time. And she went down out there and she couldn't get up. She had a stroke. And she fell in the mud hole and she couldn't get out of the mud hole. I didn't want her to die in the mud hole. I drug her out of the mud hole. And then I had to kill her. And when you look at something's face that you love so much and you got to shoot them, that's bad. And that wasn't easy because she took 30 shells almost to kill her. I was bawling my eyes out. I bawled for days over that, seeing her suffer. You see your family suffer like that. You just lost your mother. We see that. Life is precious. As you get older, you see how much more life is precious. Life, you can't add much to your life. You don't know. People fall over dead all the time. I told you here, a few days, just 3 days before Wilbur went down with the stroke, my real good friend up in British Columbia up there in Canada died suddenly. His heart went out of rhythm. They couldn't get it back, and he died. He was in perfect health. He died. It just struck us. He was really a health food person, really a health conscious. He ate the right kind of food, grew his own food, had his own gardens, everything else. His wife was a holistic practitioner. They had a clinic. And he up and died. Just zip. That happens. We can't add anything. I don't care. You do the best you can with your body. You do everything you can. The doctor told me here last several years when I go back, I go to the doctor, especially a new one, they look at my chart and they say, you ought to be dead. How do you live through all of this? Well, God wasn't ready for me to come home yet. Some of my friends, you've been dying for 15 years. I said, yeah, I'm this tough. So, yes, the Lord not finished with me yet. You haven't heard half of the story. God is the one that keeps you breathing. You can do the best you can. You can do all, you can buy the best, all the vitamins you can cram down your throat and shoot in your veins and everything else. Paul went and had chelation treatments. You know the chelation treatments that clean your veins out and all that, take all the heavy metals out of your body and all the bad things. He'd go through that a couple of times a year and he felt better every time he did it. You can do anything in the world if you can to try to extend your life. You can't have 10 years to your life. They tell you to lay down and take a nap for 30 minutes a day, that you'll live 10 years longer. That's what they say. But you're not guaranteed that. Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow, neither do they reap. And God loves every one of them. God loves every animal that's out there. Did you know that? He provides for them. They don't gather in the barns, yet their heavenly Father, their heavenly Father, and your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than that to them? You have an opportunity to be with the Lord in the great city up there in New Jerusalem for ever and ever. 27. Verse number 27. Sometimes worrying will shorten your life. Yeah. Sometimes worrying will make you sick. You worry yourself to death. Which of you being anxious, worrying, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? All right, it means like 10 years. Actually, it's 18 inches is what a cubit is, but it'd be like 18 years. Can you add 18 years to your life? Anybody? How about making yourself taller today? Bigger muscles. Can you do that? You can go to any drugstore, go to Rite Aid or Thrifty or whatever. I don't know what they call these places anymore. Walgreens and all this. You can go in there and you can look at these bodybuilding compounds in there. You can get great big muscles and high protein and calories and all this. You can grow. You can take steroids and you can get real big and tall. Almost all of the football players and baseball players have been on steroids for years. They're taller. They're bigger, they're stronger than what they would have been than the DNA and the genetics that God gave them. They can add strength. What was this guy's name that hit more home runs than Babe Ruth and everything? Babe Ruth wasn't on steroids, by the way. He was a real guy. Yeah, he really did. Yeah. All of these other guys, many of them, have been on steroids. And that's what you call cheating, they say. Cheating, a little bit. But they added to their strength, didn't they? And they go to gyms and they work out, and there's nothing wrong with going to gyms and working out either. But they go do all these things and go beyond what even their body tells them. But what either the program in your body is. Yeah, you can add weight to yourself. You can do all this kind of stuff, but you can't add 17, 18 years to your life. Jack LaLanne, you know, look at him. He lived to be a long time. You could buy his juicers. You could do all kinds of stuff, and you could live for a long time. But Jack LaLanne is now dead. He was rich and famous, and he's dead now. He used to take and swim the... across the San Francisco up there, and he'd swim, what? Yeah, he'd swim out there and pull a boat, swimming. Yeah, pull a boat with the rope in his teeth. He did that. But you know something? And he was healthy for a lot of his life, but right now, he's dead. We're terminal. All of us are terminal. All right, sometimes you can worry yourself to death, worry about it. Worry about your family. You know what you can do for your family? You can give them the best example you can possibly give them. You can live like you're supposed to live before them and do the best you can and guide them in the right direction. And after you turn them loose, there's nothing else you can do except pray for them. Prayer really works, doesn't it? Prayer works. Pray for them. Prayer is not worrying. You want to, instead of worrying for your family, worrying for your children, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them daily. If you've got somebody that is going the wrong direction and some friend of you, don't worry about it. Pray for them. Let the Lord worry about it. He'll take care of it one way or the other. Are you anxious about your clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, that they do not toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one natural little metal. Not like one metal. God really did a good job decorating the world, didn't he? He did. He put every rock exactly where he wanted it to be. Did you know that? You can't improve it. The Lakota Indians were really upset when they got up there and started blasting away at Mount Rushmore. They said God did a real good job of putting that mountain exactly like he wanted it. And they were changing it. They didn't like that. They called it art. But God makes things like it. Can you make the ocean waves more beautiful than God can? You look out there and look at all the animals in the world. Look at the butterflies. Just concentrate on butterflies for a minute. Just look at the beauty of the butterflies. You know, the old devil is even beautiful. God made Lucifer and he was the shining one, the beautiful one. but his nature changing. I knew a woman one time, she said, pretty is as pretty does. The most beautiful woman in the world, I don't care how beautiful she is, if she's a mean person, boy, I tell you what, she's ugly all over. I don't care how pretty she is on the outside, she's ugly all over. Clothe yourself with the beauty of love. Clothe yourself that way. Pray. Don't worry, pray. God remembers those that depend on Him, by the way. God remembers those that depend on Him. Verse number 30. Or 29. I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, did not clothe himself as one of these little metals. Verse number 30. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is sown into the furnace, all, or will He not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Now, He turns from the Pharisees, He turns to His disciples. And He calls them, O men of little faith. O men of little faith. Now, they were supposed to be the leaders in that little group, weren't they? This is the little nucleus of His church that He has called out. And He calls and tells them, you have little faith. And they would argue with Jesus at times, wouldn't they? They had walked off and given everything. They walked off and left their families, walked off and left their jobs, walked off and left their homes and everything. And He said, what do they want? One of the mothers said, Jesus, and when the kingdom comes, who's going to be on your right hand and who on your left hand? They were going to fight over that. And He asked them one time. He asked them one time, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? And they said, what? Oh, yeah. What baptism was He talking about? What baptism was He talking about with the baptism?
The Holy Spirit.
No.
His death.
His death. The blood. His death. When all of His friends turned their backs on Him, when even Peter, the one that said, he chopped the guy's ear off, you know. He risked his life trying to save Jesus, but when Jesus was arrested and all power was taken from Him and he was tied up and he was incarcerated, they weren't quite so brave, were they? When they used to go out in battle, when men go out in battle, if their leader was leading them, if the leader got killed, boy, they got scattered, didn't they? Smite the shepherd and the what? The sheep will scatter. When their shepherd was smited, the sheep scattered. And they had God the Son among them. He said, look at the grass of the field. You go out there and they don't do this much anymore. But when they used to farm, they would go out and they would cut the wheat, they would cut the corn, and there would be a stubble there that wasn't good for much. Now they grind it up and use it for a cattle feed. They save everything these days, you know. But used to they'd have a field, a stubble, wheat stubble out there and everything else, and what did they do with it when they got ready to, before they plowed it? They set it on fire. Yeah, they set it on fire. And it would burn. You'd see smoke going up all over the place. They'd burn it. And that's what they did back in here. You know what that did? It killed all the bugs. The Indians up in the forest, they used to set the forest on fire every year. And they would kill all the ticks and all the bugs and all the bad things in the mountains. And what is the only way? These giant trees up there, these giant sequoia trees, how do they reproduce? Did you know? Huh? They have to have a fire to make the pine cones open up so they can reproduce. It takes fire. It's good for us when we go through the fire. Did you know that? It is good for that. He said all of this thing, everything in life, we all have tribulation, don't we? You can look in every family, and there's been tribulation in nearly every family. I mean, some real hard tribulation, sickness or long times, children that go astray, all different kinds of things. We worry, don't we? I think instead of worrying, we need to pray and let the Lord take care of the answers. O men of little faith, God remembers those who depend upon Him. Verse number 31. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we clothe ourselves with? Verse number 32. For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. The world seeks it. When they talked about the Gentiles there, we can call them dogs, or we can call them the ungodly world. The ungodly world wants all the same things that we have, don't they? We like to have a house so we can stay warm in it. We had degrees down to 18 out there where I live, and I tell you what, it was nice and warm in the house. I didn't want to go outside much when it was 18 degrees. I had to go out every morning. I covered up the water well out there, and I had to go out and turn the well on anyway because it froze it all up even when it was covered. I had to go out there and start the well every day because I wanted water. We needed some water. Even the world seeks riches. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But what's the most important? Verse number 33. What's the most important? Don, what's it say over there, brother?
But seek first the kingdom.
All right. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, your necessities, will be added to you. You ever pray for a job? I was talking to some young people here just the other day, and they said they needed a job. I said, well, what have you done? I said, I'll tell you how to get a job. You get to mind, you're going to get a job. And you go out, and you just do every day, you go out and you seek a job all day. You seek a job. You don't think about anything else. Don't think about having lunch. Seek a job all day long. Go without eating lunch. Just keep on going. Looking for a job. I said, I guarantee you, you're going to find one someplace. Somewhere, somebody's going to want somebody. You just focus on it. But what it tells us here is become obsessive. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom. All right, His kingdom. Look at that. His kingdom. The kingdom of God. And His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Verse number 34 now. Verse 34. Sometimes when we worry so much, it actually keeps us from attaining whatever we need to do. Worry can slow you down. Worry can so depress you that you can't accomplish anything. When you get ready to do something, do it. There's nothing you can't accomplish with God's help. Did you know that? You can do it. Whatever's worth doing, you can do it. If you don't do it, I guarantee you one thing, God didn't want you to do it. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse number 34. Therefore be anxious. Do not be anxious for what? Huh? Tomorrow. Don't be worried. I used to say, plan as if you're going to live 100 years and live like it was your last day on earth. Because it might be. I know so many people it was. Sister Andino, how old was Dr. Roy Reed when he died? He was young, wasn't he? Dr. Martin Canavan? Yeah, I don't think either one of them made hardly past 60. Boy, did they work hard. I tell you what, those people lived like every day. When they preached like it was the last sermon they'd ever preached, they lived like it was the last day. I remember, I have patterned my life after Dr. Martin Cattleman a little bit. I saw that man go into the hospital with cardiac arrest and the fibrillation. All kind of, he would be in the hospital. They take him right from his right from the pulpit sometime, out of the bed in the middle of the night, haul him into the hospital, and shock him and get his heart in rhythm and do all kinds of stuff to him. Of course, this was quite a few years ago. This is like 30-something years ago. They turn him loose out of intensive care and he'd walk right to the seminary and go to teaching. Go to teaching. Didn't pop yet. It may not even be working. I don't know. It's about to anyway, pretty soon. He'd go right there and go to teaching. And you look at him and he'd just be half dead. But you know what? He wanted to give his last minute to the Lord. And he did too. You think about what God wants with your life. Why are you here in this world? You're not here for yourself. You're here for the Lord. Dr. Roy Reed was a great preacher. He was a scientific teacher. And sound, complete. You couldn't find a flaw in his theology anywhere. Am I speaking the truth, Sister Andy? There was no flaws. No flaws in his theology at all. He just cut it down just scientifically and preached a sermon. If, like I said, go listen to that one, Infant Damnation, on Sermon of the Week and discoverthemore.com. You're going to hear him preach there. We're going to put him up there quite a few times. He's teaching basic Bible doctrines scientifically. There it is. They gave me a lot of the right kind of ambition. Sometimes when you get sick, it makes you want to quit and just lay down. It was hard to get out of bed this morning. I hurt so bad. I couldn't stay in bed and I couldn't get up either. I hurt so bad. But you know what? I had something eternal to do here. And I got something eternal to do at 4:30 this afternoon too. I'll be here. Lord willing, and I don't croak in the meanwhile. Because I have to remember Dr. Martin Canavan. Dr. Martin Van Buren Canavan. Because he gave me a good example. He gave me a real good example of how to spend my last minutes on this earth. Dr. Roy Reed showed me how to spend the last minutes in this world. I remember he preached. He went home and laid down and fell asleep forever there in his home in Bellflower, California. Boy, what a good way to go. He did. But he had preached. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow is enough. Today, there's enough worries in this world, enough things to take care of today. For all day. You don't need to worry about tomorrow because you've got plenty to do today to worry about to take care of things today. Each day is enough trouble on its own. Each day is enough trouble to take all of your time that you can spare. It's enough. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. Live every day as if it's the last day you're going to live. Plan as if you've got 10 years to go. But live every day as if it's the last day that you're ever going to live. Next week we'll start in the 7th chapter. Thank you for your attention. Now, I hope this little lesson meant something to you. That it's something eternal in your life that you can apply every day to your life.